Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care.
If you're successful, the maneuver happens fine. If you fail this role, then maybe things aren't so fine.
We all die.
All right. 14.
Woo!
Look, he holds on the door. You shove the table in front. The door is still shaking. This thing is kind of banging on the door. But the table is strong. Is it, you know, clearly, how strong can a leg and a head and two arms be? It's banging the door, but it doesn't seem to be strong enough to kind of push the weight of the table from the door. So it seems that you've held it in place. And in fact, after a minute or two of rapid kind of banging it, wanting to get out, it seems to know that it seems to be stuck now, and it kind of seems to go quiet again.
Can Edward make a listen check on the door to see where it's going or if it's still in there?
Okay, so let's have a listen roll then.
It's a 38 on a 61, so I succeed.
Okay, so you're listening in, and you can just hear this faint sound of scratching on wood. And then it's pretty quiet again. It seems to have been moving around us for a minute or two, and then it seems to have gone quiet again. It's kind of a bit strange. It doesn't sound like it's coming from the room you're listening in, but it seems really nearby. You can hear this kind of...
Lucky, can you describe again what exactly you saw?
Head, arms, in ears, leg, on neck, no body. That's the last time I'm describing that thing.
Does this sound, Mike, like the thing that I heard the doctor describe, the nurse describe?
Maybe your mind is filling in the gaps a little bit. Because, I mean, think if you remember, the nurse said it didn't have any arms or legs and hardly a face.
What in the world is Corbett doing here? Well, Moose, you should stay here to make sure that thing doesn't get us. Kermit, where's the strengthiest part of the room?
cool, thanks for splitting the party for me.
So Kermit, your meter is still going off, and you know, your best guess is it's the other door that all the commotion was just happening at.
I'm getting a stronglier reading from this other door. Kermit's a physicist and not wasn't an English PhD, and it really shows.
It's a new language for a new technology, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. This door here, Eddie, this door, that's where the signal's strongest. It's coming from behind this door.
Lucky, what should we do? You are the leader of the group.
Oh, fuck. We go find the strengthiest part of the house and see what's going on there. And then we get out of here, we call the cops, and we don't leave the house until the cops have come and taken care of this awful thing, whatever it is.
Of course.
But we're not going out the back, we're going out the front.
Well, of course, yes.
Okay, so it seems that the one-legged head is all quiet in the room, the laboratory table is barring the door. Kermit's EMF is going berserk. It's clearly picking up some sort of electrostatic emanations or whatever it is that it's picking up. There is the matter that both Lucky and Edward have heard this unaccountable kind of baby, childlike cooing and gurgling sound. Perhaps that is what's beyond the door here. I don't know. Maybe it's coming from above. We have obviously Moose a little further back in the room, securely behind a table with his... Is it the rifle you've got?
It's the Winchester lever-action rifle.
Yeah, Kermit has got the meter. Edward has got his good looks and health from the look of it.
I'll pick up something heavy I could hit something in the head with if I needed to.
some sort of bone saw or something that's quite heavy.
I think Kermit's concern with the EMF meter, and it's probably something he's shared with Eddie, is that it was not sensitive enough. So he was worried that it would never detect any ghosts or anything like that because it just required so much to activate it. So he's kind of shocked and terrified that this thing's working. So he's just backing away from this door as maybe Eddie inched in closer to it.
Well, come to think of it, I'm not quite sure how you intended to power this device.
It's got a hand crank, you know?
Magnets.
Early electrical transistors in there or something. So it's a fairly bulky thing, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And quite rightly, in terms of on paper, you kind of think, well, I'm not sure this would work. But whatever is causing it to work, you're finding it hard to explain why it's working.
And we have no absolutely no clue because we kind of just threw it together.
Yeah, he knows the parts work, all the lights work and everything like that. But it, as a portable device, it probably shouldn't be working quite like this. Eddie, what are we doing? Should we leave? Should we get the police? What's going on?
Well, it probably means that there's a ghost near here. So
it could be the ghost of that corpse out in the yard.
The reason I laugh is that every episode of Ghost Hunters basically goes like that. If anything does anything, they're like, well, that probably means a ghost.
You did design it to detect ghosts, and it's detecting something, so it could be a ghost.
Kermit, if you want to get anywhere in life, especially in this field, we'll have to take a risk. Kermit, we're going to have to find the truth.
I agree. I'm going to go back here and you can open that door, Eddie. I'll be back here with Moose.
Edward grabs two things before he opens the door. He will grab his small vial of water and the pocket watch, just kind of in his hand.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Y'all don't know what it is. Y'all have no idea.
I do not. I agree.
I love it. What's the damage bonus on that pocket watch?
It'd be crazy if you use something in your inventory to try and change the story.
You son of a bitch.
I will shakily reach out my hands, knowing what I know now of there's something else going on in here that is not normal. But this is the closest he's ever gotten to finding his mother. He'll grab his pocket watch and hold it tight while he opens the door.
There's a lot that just happened there, but I like it. Okay. Yeah,
there was. This is a big character moment.
I'm assuming he didn't say that out loud, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, he's saying this all out loud. Okay. as he's reaching. And my mother.
This is the closest I will come to finding my mother. So I will open the door.
Moose has still got the gun trained, but he's like looking over at Lucky like, what?
Kermit's starting to think that's Eddie's mother in the garden.
Well, Eddie would have told Kermit that his mother was killed by a ghost. And that's the reason why he became a paranormal investigator and parapsychologist. It's not like he just one day woke up and was like, oh, I'm going to talk to ghosts today.
In order to garner professional respect, you would have told him that?
He's schizophrenic.
Yeah, no, I've told Kermit like how I got into this.
Yes, I am a scientist, but also my mother was killed by a ghost.
I'm a parapsychologist. I'm not a real scientist. I study ghosts.
Yeah, Kermit's getting far away from Eddie, but he knows Eddie's probably going to open that door.
So Eddie suddenly finds himself a long way away from everyone else as he opens this door.
Lucky is up near Eddie because she wants out of here.
And Moose is training his gun over to the next door, the one that Eddie's going for.
So technically, you're kind of pointing it roughly at Eddie, is what you're saying.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
just being clear.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So Eddie opens this door. And beyond what you find, what you see is another door. But the difference is this door has got like a wooden plank barring it, so the door can't be opened outwards.
And it says, don't open dead inside.
Is there like a little like thing that you can slide so you can see through? Or
if only there was, that would be make things so much more easy, wouldn't it? But there isn't.
Well, can I hear anything through that door? I mean, it's holding something.
Put your ear to the door and give me a listen roll.
And while he's doing that, I'm lighting up a cigarette in case I need to set a bitch on fire.
That would be an 8. Oh, that's an extreme success.
Yeah, okay. You can hear a little bit more sharply, a little bit more defined. It sounds like beyond this door is a baby, because you can hear this kind of cooey, gurgling kind of baby sounds. It's like a nursery beyond here.
You hear background music of Paw Patrol.
Yeah, but you know, your eagle-eared listen, you're pretty certain that beyond this door is some sort of child baby.
Why would he lock his child in a room? Well, here goes nothing. I open the door.
Okay, so you lift the wooden plank, the door then swings towards you. And beyond is a really dark room. There are no windows or skylights in this room. Do you have a flashlight or anything to light the room? Or
a lighter. So I'm not going in there with just a lighter.
So are you stepping back from the door? Or
I'll probably close the door again and turn around and be like, anybody have a lighter or a flashlight or a lantern?
So when you say close the door, you just kind of pull it to and stand in front of it.
Put the wood plank back. I don't know why it was there, because
can I have a dexterity roll from Edward?
Oh dear.
001, that's a 1, right?
Woo! Nope, that's a 100.
I thought I rolled 100 there for a second.
No way! Unbelievable. You rolled 001.
I rolled 001. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to process this. I can't believe that that just happened on this apparently incredibly important roll. Like, I just rolled insane right there.
Well, clearly. So you're very, really quick. You open the door. You see it's pretty dark in there. You can't really see anything. You think, I need a light. You shut the door. You throw the wood back in. And that's all cool.
Moose has a flint and tinder box, if that's of anyone's use.
Well, Kermit has a flashlight in his inventory, but I don't think he would have brought it during the day to this house. But the EMF meter is glowing pretty brightly.
Yeah, I mean, that is giving off some light. I mean, there is the utility room you pass through. And to be honest, there is going to be at least a couple of little lanterns or whatever in there.
We can grab the lanterns. I have a cigarette lighter, so I could light them if I needed to.
Yeah, and they've got oil in them, so I mean, they're all kind of set to go. So you can get a couple of little lanterns, hand lanterns, you know, and they're throwing out a good amount of light, really. So I don't know if anyone particularly is holding them or...
I have one.
I will also grab one.
Okay.
And Kermit, you'll be behind us with the EMF?
But yeah, about 30 feet back. What did you see, Eddie? What do you think's in there?
There's something in there, but I don't quite understand what it is. It's too dark to quite see anything, which is why I closed the door in such a hurry. If there is something in there, and in my educated opinion, it's not of this place.
Well, that's the fastest I've ever seen anyone close a door, so I commend you for your skill.
Thank you. It's it's a skill I have still. I used to be the fastest door closer east of the Mississippi. Back in my younger days. Well, I'm going to do a ritual I make up in front of the door. Something I read. I don't know. Make me feel better. And
well, you got 75 in a cult, so I think you would know a few kind of rituals you could, you know.
Like an actual ritual I could do? Could I actually do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd be looking for some sort of, like, charm or protection ritual, yeah, or good fortune, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I put a book in my gear and possessions that I said, a book on the occult, which the keeper can make up to be whatever.
Rituals for dummies.
I think it's probably, you know, Mrs. Wilberforce's law of the land and herbal remedies, which contains herbal remedies, but also contains numerous charms to protect and bring good health, bring good fortune, correct the humours of the body, and so forth. In there is a short ritual of good luck, good fortune and good luck.
Whenever you say luck, I think you're saying looks.
Same.
Good looks. Man, I can make myself look really pretty right now.
So you could do that. Give me an occult roll.
Okay.
Just make sure you remember it fully and you're reading it out correctly.
That's a 71.
That's success. You feel bolstered. You know, whether it does anything or not is another matter, but you personally feel I've done something that I feel is preparing me for whatever lays beyond this door.
To all of them, it just looked like I just did a bunch of nothing. I just like throwing water around and and it just looks like this guy's insane.
Lucky, I told you he's a little touched.
I'm starting to think you might be right.
Lucky, this is how we got the machines to track ghost goblins.
The what now?
Don't worry about it. Now, Lucky, I believe we should make our way in there. I believe that we are protected enough to deal with whatever's in there.
All right. You go first. Age before beauty,
right,
and all that.
Right. Takes a, gulp, nervous gulp. Okay. Can't be worse than the head and two arms and a leg.
Why did you have to say that?
And I slowly lift the latch. I'll take a step back and I'll focus the lantern.
The lamp is sort of throwing some light into the room. You can make out on the floor what looks to be like bits of stubs. It's like broken bits of bone. There's like a greasy kind of covering to the floor, like oil and grease over time. There's like a layer of it and encrusted in the grease. You can see bits of or patches of hair and bits of kind of discolored or festering pieces of flesh that have been left to go moldy and rot. It's now you're kind of taking a good breath of the room. There's this awful smell, this kind of musty, semi-rotting, semi-kind of over-ripeness, this kind of earthy mustiness as well. It's pretty strong now.
I'll take a step back away from that.
And as you take a step back, you see a child's hand come out of the darkness and then your light kind of catches the fingers and part of the hand reaching and the hand kind of coming out of the darkness. And you see another hand kind of come out, like two hands kind of reaching towards you. And you hear this kind of...
I'll throw my holy water on his hands. And back the hell away.
Okay. You splash some holy water towards it. It kind of lands on the hand and the hands kind of react back into the darkness. And then there's this sudden burst of giggling as if a room full of babies were giggling. And suddenly coming into the light, there's this massive spherical sack of flesh that seems to be ringed with child's arms and child's legs of various shapes and sizes and types, and it seems like this ball of hands and arms, and it comes barreling towards you through the darkness into your light as this thing comes right, and you see at the top of it, it's got this big mouth or orifice that seems to be bubbling this pale brown goo that seems to be rolling down the body as it comes towards you. Could you make sanity rolls, please?
We're going to need more ones, Eddie.
That's a 95.
98.
I also rolled 98.
Oh my goodness, I passed a sanity roll.
Wow.
What?
22.
So you didn't pass.
I'm 28, actually.
Edward, you lose 4 points of sanity. Moose, you lose 1. You're a little bit further away back. You didn't quite see it all, but what you saw was enough to give you a shiver down the spine.
Sure.
Lucky is 8 points of sanity. And Kermit is... Oh, Kermit, you got a really good look, didn't you? Because you lost 10 points of sanity.
Oh, boy.
So we're both making intelligence rolls then?
So you're both making intelligence rolls.
That's an extreme success on my intelligence roll. I understand everything.
How many sanity points did you lose earlier? Look, you've not lost any so far, have you?
Yeah, I lost 6 earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've lost 14 sanity so far.
You've gone indefinitely insane then in that case.
Edward is very lucky because he's not quite gone over his indefinite, even with only losing.
Yeah, I'm at 12 right now.
Yeah, and Kermit, you're okay because you've...
Yeah, I'm down to 39 now.
Yeah, so you've gone indefinitely insane as well, I'm afraid. You know, these things happen.
Insanity just happens, yeah, totally.
Moose loses a point of sanity, but as an involuntary action, he is pointing a gun at the doorway. So the involuntary action is you fire the rifle.
Oh, that was going to be my voluntary reaction too.
Edward, your involuntary action is you're holding the lantern. I think you drop that in like, whoa!
Yeah.
You drop the lantern and kind of back away.
Lucky, you've got the big bone saw type thing, haven't you, and the lantern?
Yes.
So I'm just going to come back to you in a second.
Oh, no.
And Kermit, you've got the meter. Kermit, your bout of madness, which lasts for 7 rounds, is a crazy plan, okay? I want you to come up with a crazy plan that involves a lot of risk to you personally to deal with this situation. Yeah, this isn't about running away. In fact, it probably has got to do with your EMF meter because maybe this has somehow created this apparition, because it's a ghost. Clearly it's a ghost because this is what your meter picks up and detects. But it's detected this kind of devil ghost thing from the abysses of hell. And your meter has given it flesh and made it real. So come up with some crazy plan that you will then try and enact over the next couple of hours or so. Lucky, on the other hand, I'm going to give you a choice.
Uh-huh.
I think you either go into some sort of rage, going like, oh, I'm going to just kill it because it needs to die. Or you think you relax and actually you just go, this isn't happening. That is not there and doesn't exist. And even if it is there, it doesn't want to hurt me. It might hurt the other people, but it's not going to hurt me. I'm fine. I'm going to sit here, maybe drink some of that formaldehyde, which I've heard tastes a bit like gin. Which do you prefer?
I think because she's done so much cocaine while she was with the Bright Young Things over in London that she's just like, this is just a bad trip. Like, it's fine. Like, I've seen worse things, honestly. This is just a bad trip. It's all. I'm fine. We'll just ride it out. Just ride it out.
For you, you're about to find this while this is happening is only a couple of rounds. So it's only a few seconds, actually, this affects you. And then you are in control of your character. Obviously, Kermit is just a little bit longer. It's more like a few minutes. Kermit, do you have an idea of what you want to say or do?
I have a pretty good idea of what Kermit's going to do.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first thing Kermit's going to do is destroy the EMF meter, just smash it on the ground.
Yep.
But that's not going to be enough. He's going to have to get rid of these pieces. So he's going to try to swallow the little pieces of the smashed EMF meter.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. That sounds awesome.
Which includes a lot of glass.
That is perfect.
Wow. Okay, so roll for glass eating.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, does everyone have a dexterity above 50?
I have 50 exactly.
Yeah, same here.
I also have 50 exactly.
Okay, so all that means is that you all get to act before this thing does. But Moose is going to get a free action because you're already holding the gun. You're going to fire this thing. So what I want you to do, you're going to kick this off, Moose. So you're going to make your firearms roll. I'm going to give you a bonus die because you've been aiming for like rounds and rounds and rounds on this door. Now, let's see if you hit something for a start.
Okay.
Then we'll work out what and who you hit.
That is a 15, which is a hard success with my rifle.
Okay. Moose, you want to make this roll? Roll a d10. If you get a 1, you've hit one of the three characters. 2 to 10, you've hit the monster, because that's pretty big. It's coming through the door.
Sure.
I think you are more likely to hit it. But if you roll a 1, there is a slight chance you can hit one of your companions.
No problem. It's a 5.
You hit the monster thing. Could you roll your damage for your rifle?
Sure thing. That is going to be 9 damage.
Okay. Does he even know that he was aiming at the monster thing? Just kind of shot there?
He knows there is something behind the door. He sees this, and it just, even before it becomes fully visible, he sees it's got more than 2 arms. So clearly there's a wrongness coming through this door. He just fires in the doorway, basically, but it's filling the doorway. So it's a good shot. 9 damage to the thing beyond the door. Okay. I'm going to also, just because I'll forget otherwise, Lucky and Kermit, you both gain +6 Cthulhu Mythos due to your insanity.
It's a nice consolation prize.
Edward, well, I gave you some earlier, but I didn't give you any for the insanity you had earlier, so you get +5 as well. So Edward now is rocking with a load of Cthulhu Mythos. Meanwhile, the shot rings out. You have a good shot. You've hit it. Who's on... is anyone on decks kind of 90 or 80 or...
I think I'm the highest with 60.
It's basically Kermit, then everyone else. Okay.
Right.
And I'm eating a machine.
So at this point, Kermit, you're destroying the machine. You probably haven't started eating it yet because you're in the process of destroying it. Lucky, what are you doing?
I'm just going to pull out my cigarette holder and light up, and I'm just going to stand there just... Fascinating. Never seen this before. Hmm.
Lucky, do you have a lantern?
I do. I've got it in one hand and my cigarette in the other hand.
And you're just chilling.
Just chilling. I think this is a trip. I'm just like, oh, this is new. I've wanted something new for a while. Not so psychedelic this
time.
Yeah,
I'm going to drop my lantern and run. I want to run to the, not completely out, but just like out of the door. So like,
Eddie, where are you going, darling? It can't hurt you. Calm down. Come back.
And do I understand what I'm seeing here? Is this something from Zoth?
You drop the lantern. Can I get a luck roll for the lantern dropping, please?
Oh, yeah, you can.
The 22. I hope the luck means that it does catch the house on fire.
Yeah. It's obviously the oil is spreading over the floor at this particular point. It probably will hit something wooden in the next round or so, I would have thought.
Will's trying to kill all the other characters again.
Okay, so you've all acted in this first kind of round now.
So do I go again, or I just got to go early?
Oh, sorry, you do get to go again because I give you a free action and I forgot to. Yeah, you do.
Okay.
You get another shot now.
Well, where are Kermit and Edward in relation to me?
They are ahead of you, but Edward is backing away from the doorway. And Lucky has already kind of backed away from the doorway. Kermit isn't technically in front of you, but Kermit is kind of like hopping around, bashing things on the floor and acting a little crazy at this point. I mean, obviously, with any firearm thing, you have a potential that Kermit, you can't anticipate what he's going to do. So he's a risk, but he isn't in the way at this point in time.
Okay. I think that what Moose is going to do is run over to Lucky and grab her by the collar and start pulling her out of the room the way we came in.
Why are we freaking out? This is fine. I've seen worse. Calm down, everybody. Ugh, you're going to knock over my cigarette. Moose!
Okay.
Run!
Start running. This thing bursts through the doorway. It seems like it's almost like a slug. Although it's quite a massive thing, it's almost like a sack of air. And the limbs kind of twist around and it's got comes through the doorway.
All those legs, and it's not doing any walking.
It's kind of, well, there are legs, but a lot of them are just dangling off this sack.
Vestigial, really?
Yeah. But I mean, as you're getting a good look at it now, and you've all made your sound rolls, you can see that this sack thing, that all the legs and arms, they're all kind of growing out of it, but they all seem, you can see stitch marks. All the legs and the arms have been stitched onto this sack, like they're not, weren't originally part of it, almost like a Frankenstein type thing. Oh, okay, so I get three attacks. Well, at this point, because you're all, no one technically left the room yet, you're all possible targets. So I'm going to roll a d4 and go along the top of my screen, which means Lucky, just as Moose is pulling you away, these arms grab you. But your choice is, you can see them coming for you as you're backing off. You're in your head, you're thinking it's kind of going for Kermit or Edward or Moose even. It's really not bothering with you. But you feel it start to kind of come towards you. And instinctually, even though your brain is not really registering it, instinctively you will react. Mm-hmm. So do you want to fight back or do you want to dodge?
I think my instinctual reaction would be just sort of to flinch, pull away from it, not to throw anything at it.
Okay, I made a regular success on my attack. So if you can make a regular dodge, you dodge.
All right, let's see. My dodge isn't very good, though. Oh, 15. That works. That's a success.
Okay, so yeah, you instinctively just flinch out of the way. Probably the momentum from Moose pulling you as well doesn't hurt. It doesn't connect. It doesn't do anything.
So, like, these arms and legs are just flailing out and grabbing for us?
Yeah, yeah, kind of, like, kind of grab onto things. Unfortunately, Edward, it's you that it's trying to grab onto. You're in control. You can dodge this or try and fight it back.
I'm not going to try to fight it back. I'm just dodging out of the way.
Okay, so give me a dodge roll. If you can do a straight, regular dodge roll, you dodge out of the way.
Oh, God, that's an 11. Hell yeah. Okay. I'm just really, I kind of want to fail, but I'm not.
No worries. Okay, so it kind of barrels into the room. You're all, apart from Kermit, are backing away. So you can see Kermit is trying to eat this EMF meter, swallowing that. You see, you know, lips are bleeding, and he's making these awful kind of like sounds as he's doing it. But, you know, he seems happy enough in a strange sort of way.
I'm going to need a new mad scientist, aren't I?
It's a new round. Kermit is first and continues this endeavor, eating the EMF meter. Then the three of you act. You all kind of act more or less simultaneously. So whoever, however you want to, whatever order you want to go in, basically. So
if I look around the room, what's in there again? Anything that I could throw at it?
Yeah, there's jars and vials of chemicals. There's
bodies,
surgical
body parts.
There's no body part. I mean, there's a kind of refrigeration kind of cupboard that no one actually ever opened that, so you don't really know what's in that. And you could try and throw the whole cupboard at it, I guess.
I'll let Moose go first.
Moose said run.
I will, well, no, that's no fun. I'm going to go ahead and chuck some chemicals. As I run, I'm going to like back off, but chuck a chemical at it and see if it does anything. And if it not, I'm running.
Okay, that sounds fine. Yeah, you go to the rear wall where the door you first came in is. And that's where I said there was various kind of shelves of chemicals and things. So I think it's pretty easy. You're over there anyway. You back off there. You can grab one and just kind of wildly throw something at this creature. I think that's all very reasonable. You know, you're not really taking a name. It's just a wild shot. So just give me a throw roll.
64. I'm out of 20.
You could spend some luck.
I could spend some luck.
Do you have 44 luck?
I have to use 44 luck.
To make it success.
Do it.
It's up to you.
If I get chemical burns while I'm eating this meter, I'm going to be pissed.
Then you'll be angry.
No, I'll fail. No, wait, I'll push the roll.
Oh, you can't.
Oh, I can't.
You can't re-throw a throw.
Okay.
You've already thrown it.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's where you can spend luck on it, but you can't re-throw it technically.
Okay.
Yeah. But you have thrown something and it has landed. somewhere. It just didn't land quite square in the creature, but it could have landed in front of it.
Oh, I thought it was going to hurt somebody. Okay, I'll use luck then.
No. It's all cool. Okay. It's cool. Okay. I was going to just get you to make another luck roll now.
Oh, okay.
To determine how bad the chemical is.
Okay. It's a 16.
So you made that roll. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a bad chemical, but it works in your favor rather than a bad chemical spraying Kermit or whatever, you see what I mean, yeah? You've thrown down some acid onto the floor. It's not really hit the creature, but if the creature comes towards you, it's going to hit this patch of acidic stuff, which may or may not hurt it. So, you know, you never know.
Awesome.
Okay, so that's Edward, and you're loitering at the back of the room, ready to go out next round, but you're kind of a bit curious to see what happens when it runs over this stuff you've just thrown in its path. Lucky, you actually come to your senses. You are aware of yourself, and you're aware that perhaps this isn't a cocaine hallucination anymore. Or if it is, it's going on far too long, and maybe you should take note of it better.
Holy... I'm going to throw my lantern at it, because I've still got it in one hand. I'm going to throw my lantern at it.
Give me a throw roll.
That's a hard success. That's a 7 out of 20.
Okay, so you really hit it really square on. And because it's a hard success, I'm going to let it do damage straight away. The fire catches some part of it. I'll do D6 plus 1, because there's a bit of metal there as well hitting it.
That's a 3, so plus 1, that's a 4.
You took 3 hit points out of its 100 hit points.
4, thank you very much.
So everyone's been apart, technically, from Moose. Is there anything particularly you want to do at this point?
Okay, so, sorry, I feel like I've asked this again, but I'm trying to picture this room. Where is this creature and us and the shelf full of chemicals and things?
The shelf of the chemicals is behind you where Edward is. It's kind of like, you know, you turn around, take a step back, and you'd be there. You're already far back in the room, and then you pulled Lucky backwards anyway, so you're kind of almost next to the chemicals. There at the back of the room, which is where the doorway that you first came in, ahead of you is Kermit off to the side, Lucky next to you, and then the creature 2 yards ahead of you.
Is there a way for me to push over that whole shelf full of chemicals between us and the creature?
And trap Kermit there with it?
Well, you know, I'm just asking my options.
I think that's a preposterous idea, so it sounds brilliant.
Moose is not an educated man. He did not quite finish high school. He got close. Chemistry, very much not his subject. All of those words might as well be in Latin or Greek. So he's thinking, I just want to smash them all together and see what happens.
Yeah, it's basically wooden shelves along part of the back wall.
Sure.
They're not IKEA shelves. They're not fixed to the top.
Excellent.
They're loose standing. And obviously there's not a lot of weight on them because it's mainly jars and stuff. I mean, there is weight, but it's not like heavy, heavy stuff. So I think you could grab one end and pull and throw.
That's precisely what I would like to do.
And Edward is right in front of this?
Yeah.
That depends, I guess, on how well I do this.
I guess what I would say, because of the positioning of people, if you positioned yourself this round with getting there, getting hold of it, pushing Edward out of the way, pushing Lucky out of the way, because they're both kind of next to you, that's kind of easy to kind of elbow them out of the way as you grab this, and then next round the creature would be on you as well, so it'd be right, you know, you'd throw it right on top of it rather than in front of it.
Let's do that.
So let me get this straight. In the past 6 seconds, I've run back, threw a bottle, and the Moose is like, nah, screw that. He runs back and just dumps the entire shelf.
You've got to dream big.
Go big or go home.
And maybe Kermit comes with us and maybe he doesn't. That's up to him, really.
Kermit, you're nearly halfway through your madness. I'm gonna allow you to make a intelligence roll, because obviously you are aware of things going around you. I mean, you're eating this in reaction to the monster, So you're not oblivious to the fact it's about to eat you or something.
Right.
So give me an intelligence roll.
Okay.
And for a bit of a moment of clarity to kind of direct your positioning and so forth.
Maybe it can be a to-go snack. That's a 71 out of 70.
I'll let you spend the luck point if you want.
Okay. I'll spend the luck point then to make that a success.
You've got some rationality. So what would you do?
Let me know if this is too off kilter, but I think what Kermit's thinking now is, so as he's eating this EMF machine, he's trying to think like, how can we undo this? And I think that based on Lucky's description of what was in the other room, Kermit has this little seed of an idea that these things have been separated because they actually fight each other. So I think what he wants to do is move that table out of the way and open the other door to see if they destroy each other.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, okay. That sounds great. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense in this case is kind of like a relative statement.
You're trying to give the monster a hand.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Munching down on a piece of, you know, metal that you're chewing and it's mashing up your mouth and you got blood pouring down from bleeding gums and you've got this ache in your stomach, but you're not worrying about that at the moment. The creature is barreling past you almost, and you can see the door beyond, and so you go towards the door to push the table out of the way. Then the monster gets its little three attacks. Kermit, I think you're not attacking the creature, but I'll allow you a dodge roll because you're kind of maneuvering to get behind it.
A 7.
Woo!
Yes, wow. So that's like a hard success. Almost
grease
extreme.
Grease lightning. Okay, so yeah, you dodge out of that way. Okay, so it throws forth this tendril, kind of shoots forth. You know, it's got this kind of hole on the top of his head with this bubbling goo coming out the top of it. And it can shoot across the room. So, Edward, this one's coming for you.
I'll try to swipe it away. I'll try to kind of hit it away.
So it's the fighting brawl roll, I guess.
Can I take a thing from the back of the shelf and like hit it with it?
Yeah, yeah. It's still a fighting
right,
brawl.
Right, yeah, no, but I want to hit it with a chemical.
I'll add you some damage if you successful. But you need to make a really good roll.
It's an 82. Is that good?
No, it's not.
Okay, so this vivid pink tentacle shoots forward and you try and batter out of the way, but it seems strong. It just goes right to your face, between your eyes, your forehead, and latches on. And you start shaking at, you know, Moose and Lucky can see it. And they go, you both instinctively take a step away. Its body is shaking as it's leeching your vitality from Edward. So, Edward, you lose 7 points of constitution. You can see your blood darkening the pink tendril as it kind of travels back towards the creature through this tube-like thing. So that was that one. And then the other person is Lucky. This other tentacle shoots forth. You can fight it or you can dodge it.
I'm bad at both, so I'll just try to dodge because I have a better chance.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I can't spend luck on dodging, can I?
Yeah, you can. It's combat. Yeah, combat.
Okay, so I'm going to spend 5 luck on that and make it a success.
Okay. You make it a success, then you successfully dodge as he kind of batters past your head into the
Edward,
shelf,
and it hits him in the other side of the forehead.
That was the lucky part.
Okay, so Edward is still connected to Edward, just so everyone knows. He's kind of shaking over. You try and get rid of it next round if you like.
Someone is coming out of this with a kink. That's all I'm saying.
And Kermit, you technically act next. So you open the door and this head on a leg flies into the room, bouncing around, hopping and bouncing on this leg. Luckily, you're in the middle of a bout of madness, so you don't need to make any sanity roll because, you know, it's just one thing after the other.
You can only get so wet.
Yeah, indeed. And the three of you can do a quick confer. Who wants to go first? How do you want to do it? Obviously, Moose, this thing is, you know, you can do the whole throwing the shelf thing on it if you wish at this point, or unless Edwin, Lucky want to do something first, or you want to try and definitely detach Edward from it? Fire going up the wall. Obviously, the cell is on fire as well, by the way.
I'm going to try to detach Edward, because I'm right there. So what would I roll for that?
A strength roll to try and pull Edward or pull it off.
Okay. So my strength is actually pretty good. Okay, that's a 7.
Woo!
Woo! Oh,
too strong, you pulled his head off.
Yeah.
you basically manage to just kind of detach this tendril. It makes this kind of... Yeah, this kind of tear sound as it
goes,
tears a circle of flesh from Edward's forehead. His blood's dripping down from it, and you know, eyes are filled with blood. It's all dripping down him, but he is undetached. And Edward does take another point of damage from all of that, I'm afraid.
Right.
But he's, you know, not getting drained. So that's a good thing. You never want to get drained, particularly by some creature out of a basement.
Yeah.
My advice for you today, that is.
Thank you, I needed that one.
Well, we all thought Eddie was a vampire anyway, so he should be used to this.
Indeed. So, Edward, I presume you're backing out through the door with Lucky.
Yeah, after that, I take one last good look at this, and I just want to understand it, and then bolt.
You both clear the door. This thing is coming closer, obviously. Moose, you can throw this shelf of chemicals at it.
Let's do it.
This is just a strength roll, because you're just kind of like using your strength to heave it at it. It's not. There's not really any skill or technique, really. It's just strength.
Yeah, this is a blunt instrument.
Yeah.
That's a 13. That is an extreme success.
So you kind of almost lift the whole shelf in your two hands. Lift! Pause! Tip over. It crashes down on top of the creature. Give me a luck roll, Moose.
34. 34 is actually a success.
Okay.
On luck.
Okay. So the right chemicals fall on top of it. You don't want the wrong chemicals that kind of feed it and make it grow twice its size and turn into some sort of Godzilla type.
Had not even considered that possibility.
But the right chemicals, because you made your luck roll, fall on it. So the acids and stuff like that, and it is comprised certainly partially of human flesh, even if it is undead or not, or reanimated or whatever it is, and it starts to burn and corrode, causing it great agony. In this childlike voice, because it has been kind of cooing and gurgling as it's been going about this attacking you, it's now screaming, but it's like a baby scream. It's really, really hideous, haunting, and will haunt your nightmares for many, many months and years to come. It's just awful as you back, you know, Moose, you back up out of the room. The smell of the chemicals and the acid going off is too much. You've got to get out.
Sorry, Kermit.
As you get out with Lucky and Edward, the full realization as you look into the room and see this thing wobbling on the floor and smoke coming off it as it's dissolving, and you see Kermit standing behind it. His face is just covered in blood. He's got his hands are bleeding because they're all torn up from trying to tear up this EMF thing. You can see he's got this big kind of piece of glass that's from the EMF. So he's trying to pushing in his mouth, trying to bite down on it, and it's that sickening crunching sound as you realize his teeth are kind of breaking on it at the same time as it's tearing up his mouth. In this split second, as you look and your eyes meet between Kermit and Moose and Edward and Lucky, for that briefest second, Kermit looks at you and you can see that he's aware that in that horror kind of fills his face as he realizes he's in a burning chamber with these strange chemicals being given off by this creature as he kind of feels himself blacking out and fading to the floor, realizing, reaching towards you to sort of almost to sort of
cry help, but he can't speak because his mouth's full of glass as he kind of falls into flames and darkness and smoke as you three kind of, we've got to get out of here unless somebody wants to dive in and see if they can save him. But it looks like he's a goner, but I don't know.
Poor Kermit, he's our sacrificial frog.
That's for the letter opener.
I did kill you, yes!
No, I'm not going back in there.
Okay, you're not going back in. Okay, so
I'll give you a nice funeral.
Edward is gone.
Three of you, I presume you're going out? Are you going back out into the garden? Are you going upstairs? Are you... The basement is on fire. It is gonna catch.
I was gonna say, 20s construction, I'm betting that place is a tinderbox. So.
Running out of the basement, because that's the fastest way out.
Edward is very, very conflicted, because this is the closest he's ever been to the paranormal. And
and also, you just lost a perfectly good intern.
That too. So, he wants to study this, but he also just got his head sucked, so he's gone.
Obviously, as you run out of the house, Moose and Lucky now see the devastation that Edward caused to the greenhouse that is, you know, all wrecked and shattered and broken. But Kermit, it may not all be over. Obviously, they may think you're dead or you're about to be engulfed in flame, which you kind of are, but you have at least one role to save yourself. Yeah, you were in the battle of madness. You were kind of coming to the end of it. It wasn't quite the end, but I think being lashed with flames brings anyone to their senses fairly sharply, even if you have lost your wits to the cosmic horror around you. So you can make a luck roll. If you successfully make this luck roll, somehow you manage getting to the other room and maybe out the skylight out the front, that kind of thing, in a mad dash for freedom just before it all caves in and you go. But it's down to you and your luck and what's left of it.
And if I fail, I want to haunt Eddie for the rest of his life.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Yikes. 72. That's not a success.
Okay, so do you want to just describe your last moments, how you see it goes?
I think so. So I think there's probably a moment for Kermit where he's being engulfed in flames and chemicals and feels the sharpness of the glass in his mouth, where he actually sees like a little path, like he might be able to get out of here. And then he starts to head toward where he sees some light coming in through maybe the roof. And as he's doing that, that little thing maybe that came out of that room where he opened that door that he unleashed.
Yeah.
Just kind of flies at his face, and the last thing that he sees is being face to face with that monstrosity that Lucky encountered earlier in the adventure.
Clamp down on you all, yeah. That's great. That was what I was thinking, but I thought, oh, I wonder what you know.
He died in like three ways at once. It's very sad, very tragic.
That's awesome. So Kermit goes down in a blaze of glory, I would say. Meanwhile, the three of you escape from the House of Horrors. In a few minutes' time, the house is all ablaze, burning away. What's your plan? Is it to sneak back over the road and wait till it blows over, or what?
Moose is so out of his element in so many different ways that, very much like a trapped animal, it's very instinctual, and he literally runs just like down the street. And he's running with the vague plan that he's going to find somewhere to get a taxi where it won't look like he's running from a burning building, and he's leaving town. He's heading back to Bangor if he can make it.
Safer with the Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Life for a simpler life.
What about Lucky?
Lucky is going to try to get home and see if she can get home before the fire department or whoever shows up, and she's counting on her family's wealth and reputation to save her from being a potential suspect.
Do you ring the fire service, perhaps?
Yeah, she'll get home and she'll call in to say she looked out the window and saw the smoke rising,
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks there's a fire across the way.
Okay, sounds good. And Edward?
Edward will catch himself teetering on the edge of sanity. Watch Moose, watch Lucky leave, and nonchalantly walk to the front of the house and wait for Corbett to return.
He wants to know what he saw. He doesn't really care about the firefighters. He knows that, or he thinks he knows, that there was more. There was more here. He saw something in the greenhouse that the others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And arson charges be damned.
And as I wait for Corbett and he pulls up and steps out of his car, I will walk up next to him and I will watch as the house burns, as the police and fire get there. I'll turn to Corbett and say,
Corbett, we need to talk. I need to know what I saw.
You say that, and he turns to you and he looks deep into your eyes, and he sees something he recognizes in your eyes, and he smiles and he says, of course, dear boy, we will talk. There is much for you to learn. And then fade to darkness as we end there.
I like that.